Power, domination, what else?
Control.
This is what Webster said. Supremacy, ascendancy, dominance, superiority, authority, mastery, control, jurisdiction, sovereignty, right? It's this notion that with power comes the ability to control, to dominate, and that's our sense of what that word means. And that's exactly what we do. We're created in God's image, and I mean, it one, I mean, in the passage, that, and I guess what I'm going to argue is that I think that that's our sense of what God, what it means for God to have dominion as well. And so we make ourselves up and we set ourselves up as gods who have control and power and might, who could do, who can come to the earth, and we can take what we see and use what we see for our own good and for our own benefit at the expense of the life that is already there. So that there are creatures who go extinct, right? So that there are ecosystems that are devastated, all for our own benefit. And I submit that when we do that, we act as if we are gods over this world, right? And that's something we need to turn from. That's something we need to repent of, which is this Greek word, metanoia, which means to turn, to change direction, because that mindset, that way of being is getting us into trouble. And I think, and it's so global and it's so pervasive that I think we all do it. We're all participants in it at some level. Problem is that dominion in the ancient world, that sense of power, that's like, that's one misuse of the sense of, that sense of superiority and control and mastery is a particular view of power. But in the ancient world, if you were a king, at least in the Hebrew culture, if you were a king, it didn't mean that you had authority to for self-aggrandizement and to do and to control people to make them do your will. What it meant is that you had responsibility. It meant that you were responsible for protecting your people. You were responsible for their flourishing and providing the conditions that led to their flourishing. You were responsible for protecting their lives and what was sacred in their lives. To have dominion, to be a king, to be a ruler in that sense, was actually, I mean, it was this notion of it, with there was great responsibility on your part to protect. That is actually closer to our sense of who God is. I mean, if our theology, I mean, there's two different theological paradigms. Is God really about control and manipulation and, you know, power? And do we exist, right? I mean, is it all about, you know, serving this kind of master in the sky? Or actually, what does it mean for to be God is that God creates something and God is so in love with God's creation. And God delights in God's creation, and it is good. And God works and hopes for the flourishing and well-being of all. We get to choose which of those theological paradigms we want to follow, and which of those theological paradigms we want to believe in. And that's a fundamental spiritual orientation. There's a critique that's made of that dominion theology and what's happened in the West is the anthropocentrism of a view that puts humankind at the center of things. It's all about us. It's all, like, in our pursuit of making ourselves God, it really is all about us at the expense of other life forms in this world. And I think that that critique of that anthropocentrism is right on. Because the more they do research in, you know, biology and chemistry and physics, and they realize that, no, actually, this sense that somehow we are can act autonomously and independently of the natural world, it's an illusion on our part. We don't understand the deep interconnection of all of life, the web of life, the way that we're deeply dependent in the way that ecosystems and is deeply dependent upon each other. You know, so even you take a walk through a forest and your brain chemistry is being altered by the trees in a forest to your benefit, right, for to your own sense of well-being. The trees are actually impacting you. I mean, that's what scientists are discovering as you walk through this forest. You cut the forest down, you rob yourself of that possibility. You destroy the ecosystem that helps create it. You cut yourself off from something that's very vital to yourself. Right, the more we grow and understand our deep interdependence upon the world and how, you know, the more we realize, no, our sense of ourselves as being at the center of things decreases, and we're just deeply connected into it all. But I also want to submit that as much as our anthropocentrism is a problem and needs to be countered, we also don't take ourselves seriously enough. It's not the fish of the sea that are destroying the sea. It's not the birds of the air that are polluting the air. It's not the wild beasts on the ground that are destroying the forest, right? We're the ones that are doing it. And unless we take seriously our responsibility in that regard, to care for this earth, to protect the gift that God has given us, to be stewards of this world, to act in a sense as God would act towards God's creation, with a sense of delight, with a profound sense of deep compassion, with a profound sense of wanting to preserve this beautiful thing that's been created, which includes ourselves. God delights in us as well. God has this deep sense of compassion for us as well and is deeply committed to our own flourishing. And by not taking ourselves seriously enough, we don't enter into God's providence for us. That's what the psalmist is saying. When I look at the stars, the work of your hands, who am I? Who am I that you take me that seriously? And yet you have made me like you in some profound way and have given me responsibility for the beauty of this world. I pray that we may step into that potential that God has given us. Amen.